We're talking with Julie Borlaug. Julie, we continue to see quite a dialogue in this regarding technology. Use of GMOs or no GMOs, and it just seems like the rancor continues to get ratcheted up.
Unfortunately, from where we were last year, we kind of seem to be the same, and I think the anti-GMO movement's even getting more clever. They've recently gone after university researchers who were funded by the big ag companies, and because we're public universities, they now want us to turn over all our emails. So that's a new avenue they're going to, but I think we've done a lot of training this year in the ag industry with the private sector, with the farmers themselves, to make them realize we've got to change our messaging. We need to be more emotional, more personal, and we have to engage with social media. So I think, hopefully, we're going to start to see a shift.
Seems like that, you know, when you start looking at particularly the international arena, there's the real fight even more so than ever before. When it comes to the GMO versus no GMO movement, entire countries are trying to make those decisions.
Well, I think it's sad that Europe, really in their policy, really dominates what Africa is going to do. And I know we're all waiting on to see what China is going to do. But I think, again, when you go and you talk to an African farmer, they want it. They want the technology, they want the GMOs, they want the benefits. So I think we need to put their message and their needs out there and have them talk to the public of why it's so important. And I think I was just at Climate Corp yesterday, and the founder, David, was talking about why can't we simply show people what a field that hasn't used any inputs or any GMO technology and what the weeds look like and what the reality of what that crop output would be if we have to go back to an only organic method, and then what a GMO does. And that's a basic, simple example that we need to utilize more that the public can understand.
And speaking of the public, I mean, the perception issues, it seems like we're continuing to almost go backwards.
I think we have. I think we've gone backwards. I think the anti-GMO technology campaign has gotten more savvy, unfortunately. But I like to explain to people when I'm out talking, do you know that Whole Foods made more money than Monsanto last year? They're just as market savvy. They want to produce for their stockholders just like everyone else, and I think you need to sit back and question that and realize they've gotten a niche, they're going to push it, but it's all about the dollar. So I think we need to make that comparison, but unfortunately there is a lot of the anti-backlash that's still going on. I think the good thing, again, is we're getting more people out there speaking, but I think the real need is we need people from outside agriculture to speak on our behalf. So moms, Mark Linus is a great example. If we could clone him, I do a lot. Of course, I come through it for my grandfather, but I don't have an agricultural degree and I'm not a farmer. So I hope that I approach the public in a different way, but we need to multiply people doing that because I think the public's going to believe a little more in them than someone from industry or a farmer.
What message resonates in your mind?
I think we just have to make it personal. I think when you're talking to moms, you have to bring the conversation down to something that's important to them. And I talk about citrus greening, and I talk about what's going to happen if we lose our orange industry, and I talk about how important oranges are to their children and orange juice, which they serve their children every day. So I just bring it down to something that they can connect with, and then I eventually get into how if we genetically modify the orange, and it's actually a Texas A&M researcher who's kind of on the nexus of that, and if we could insert the spinach gene, what that would mean for the orange industry, and then their child could continue to have orange juice every morning. So I think you just have to make it simple, unfortunately, so the public understands.
This most recent fight out there seems to be over this banana, the banana that doesn't brown. And again, it seems like there's a lot of emotionalism tied to the debate.
Well, even beyond the banana, I like the innate potato, the one that doesn't bruise. But more importantly, when you fry it, it doesn't have that carcinogenic. And I think that is something that we can promote, because how can you not be for this, whether you're McDonald's or the public, when you realize currently when they're frying that there is the carcinogenic element that comes out. So I think we can use that. And I know, you know, the apple has been passed as well, but I think that's harder for the public to realize. on the, you know, because they're so used to, well, my banana's rotted, I'll throw them away, it's 99 cents a bunch, so I'll just replace it. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a disadvantage, unfortunately, for us.
And I guess what in the U.S., we especially that problem as far as we are prosperous.
Oh, we're prosperous. We don't seem to care about food waste. When we talk about post-harvest in Africa and we talk about needing to do food waste, doesn't seem to resonate with anyone.
So, you know, going forward, where do you see us in this, I guess, struggle, if you want to call it that, over the next 2-3 years?
I'm hoping we're turning the corner and we're getting more people out there doing our messaging. You know, the GMO labeling debate is a huge problem for us. I understand why people are fearful and think we're trying to hide something, but I think it's fair to explain we're FDA approved like everything else, and when we are forced to label, that automatically gets the public to think, oh, there's a negative to this. So unfortunately, hopefully we can continue to squash this debate and work through it. And I think what's going on in Hawaii will be really important.
Your mind, the federal legislation is being talked about. Seems like a lot of agriculture embracing that. Is that a good thing, or does that also give you pause?
Well, you know, I've heard people say, let's just label it, get over and move on, and we can end this debate, and people are going to realize how much they've been eating that are products of GMO and that they're perfectly healthy. So maybe that's where we're going to have to get to in the next year or two, and then just move beyond the debate. Maybe that will quiet the anti-side down.
You mentioned Hawaii.
Yes.
I know that we've had a lot of battles there on a couple of the islands, in particular Big Island, of course, also Maui as well. Are they going to be, are they going to, in effect, kick off all of our seed companies, you think, kick off the islands?
Well, I was just in Maui over the summer, and you don't see any of the company signs like you used to anymore. It'll be interesting to see if they kick them off, how that's going to decimate the employment industry and the income of the islands. And I think Hawaii needs to remember that they only have 3 days of food supply if a big catastrophe happened. And when you're pushing off all your agriculture companies, I think you really need to question where you are with your future.